Turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, and we are going to read one verse, verse 9. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Let's pray together. Lord, we gathered ourselves together to hear from you. Touch our hearts that it would be tender to receive what you have to say to us. We are expecting a life-transforming experience because, after all, we are grappling with your word. Speak to us, we pray. Glorify your name in our midst. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 9. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Let me just repeat it. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. That's probably never happened to you, has it? That you were given more change than what was due to you, isn't it? It's never happened to you. And of course, if it had, you would have gone back immediately, isn't it, to give back. You would never have thought, hey, there's a luck. I've just got extra. I've got a little bit more now. Sad luck for the poor uncle. He's such a grousy old man anyway. So that's never happened to you. Did you notice how the young man smiled? Was that on the surface? Was just that just outwardly? Or did that come from deep down inside his heart, even though it appeared as if he got no outward reward? In fact, the old uncle was such a Mr. Grumpy. There was no expression initially on his face at all. Just a matter of fact, there it is. This is what you were supposed to have done. But isn't it that the warm smile from the boy, because he did the right thing, impacted somebody else, a grumpy old man. Without his face cracking, he could also manage a smile. Fascinating, isn't it? I don't know if they still do it, but you know, they tattoo or sandblast a little code on the windows of vehicles. And if you know how to decipher it, it tells you exactly what model the car is. And we had people attending our service. They were the husband, the man was a family member of quite a biggish motor industry owner, one of the owners of quite a big car company. And we had a vehicle that we wanted to dispose of, so he came along and had a look at it so that maybe they could take it into that dealership. As we looked at some of the papers, he said, you know, it looks like this first registration was such a year. And then he went to the windows and he looked, and it was the year before. He said, you know, you could actually sell this vehicle for a later model. In other words, you sell it, let's say, a 2018 model, when actually it's still a 2017 model. He said that. But then he looked at me. And he said, but you and I will know that it's a 2017 model, wouldn't we? Just that little statement, just that little niggle, was what would make the difference between integrity and deception. Now we read, we might not think much of integrity, but we read that Proverbs says, the person who walks in integrity is safe, is secure, is protected, is shielded, is guarded. And think of any other possible word you can think of which refers to him being sheltered. It's such a wonderful attribute. It's such a wonderful state of the heart. I can't imagine why we would spend a fortune on burglar alarms and putting security systems in our homes, guarding our windows with bars like as if we are trapped in a prison. Can't imagine that we put up these big security gates with lights. You know, some years ago, where my sister lives, I think it was when the rand collapsed so much that with a few Swiss francs, you, before the time of the euro, you could get a lot of money in South Africa. And an overseas developer, a young man, he wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. So he purchased the property opposite where my sister stays, where my parents used to stay. My sister stays there now. And he developed it, and he built an enormous fortress there. And one of the things that he installed was an incredible security system. It will start going off when it triggers accidentally. There will be all kinds of amazing lights that will start to shower, and there will be noises, all different kinds of super, sub, all kinds of sonic sounds, digital, garbled, what have you. Some sound like ambulances, some like outer space aliens that invaded and arrived. And then there would be a voice saying, "Turn back, you've been seen," etc. And this voice would sound loud. I thought, wow, what does he think of South Africa? This is really overdone. I mean, it's before our time. I mean, now you can understand if it happens now. I'm talking about, what, 15, almost 20 years later. More than 25 years later. So, such an incredible investment. Why? To make sure that whoever buys the house would be secure, would be safe. We go to such lengths. We do so much for our security to make sure that we are protected and that we end up well. And yet the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 10, the man of integrity walks securely. The man of integrity walks securely. You may have heard us say this before, that fear is a very funny thing. It's almost like a kind of spiritual magnetism. Because with people who fear attract trouble. All of those that I know who've been mugged are people who feared that they would one day be mugged. And then they were mugged, not once, but maybe even twice or three times. Very often those who drive on the road and they're terrified that they would be in an accident, they usually meet an accident. We've counseled thousands over the last almost 50 years. And it's across the board. Where there's fear, it attracts trouble. People who are paralyzed by fear, I suppose in a certain sense, have a reason to be afraid, because their fear is like a lightning rod. It just attracts the fire. It's what it does. Maybe that's why Job says, "What I feared had come over me." And we know what happened to Job. How that he eventually sat there on that dung pile and scratched the pus from his wounds with broken potsherds. Fear leaves you insecure and leaves you troubled and leaves you with anxiety and unbelievable stress. That's why you find, I've forgotten how many hundreds of times the word "fear not" appears in the scriptures. It's like, I used to remember, I've forgotten now, I don't want to tell you lies. But many, many, many times, there's a word that says, "Do not fear, fear not." The Lord Jesus, when he arrived in the upper room where his disciples were gathered together, besides telling them peace, he also told them not to fear. Now, integrity, because it's a God-given attribute, has that function of protecting you so that you would not fear. Integrity. Now, we have a difficulty with integrity, and that is because we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. So we have a broken human nature. We are bent. our chromosomes are bent. We are in trouble. We are in serious trouble. Even now, biologically, when the DNA is copied in every cell that divides and there's growth there, mistakes are being copied to such an extent that very soon the biologists tell us we're going to be extinct. I mean, you can only copy mistakes so many times until the whole thing is such a big mistake that nothing can come out of that. It cannot function. It cannot develop. It cannot go any further than that. How many people do you know who have confided in you honestly, sincerely from the heart, saying, I would like to be a man of integrity. I would like to be a woman of integrity. Do you know how often we've encountered, my wife and I were discussing it today, years in the church where people come and they tell you of a certain incident or something that happened, and then they said, we had to say this. We had to say this. And then they will clarify and say, because we didn't want to cause a big problem. We didn't want to make things bad. Now that's the code, that's the signal that they lied, that they told lies. We had to say this. Sometimes we've had people coming to us when we've explained a difficult situation. They said, no, just tell them, blah, 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 blah. My mouth hangs open. I look at them and I think, you're suggesting that I lie, that I should cover it up? Surely you're not suggesting that this is what I should be doing. These are Christian people. Without any qualms of conscience, without any disturbance in their hearts, no lack of peace, nothing at all. It's just like that. And I suppose the attitude is, everybody does it. I understand that, because we are sons and daughters of Adam. Now, it's not just a matter of telling a lie, it's a matter of living a lie as well. The pretense, the falsehood. Now, it can be so subtle that sometimes even children of God who want to go on with God are hoodwinked by it. It's a supernatural encounter with the Lord that brings you to the place where you discover the character defects, the bent personality, the dented person that we are because of Adam and Eve. And sometimes people can go throughout their whole life and be unaware, oblivious to the fact that they lack integrity. And it's not important for them to be men and women of integrity, because it can be very inconvenient to be people of integrity. It can put you in a hot seat. It can make life very difficult for you. It can be embarrassing. You can be ashamed. You can lose face, as they say in Asia. So, we would do anything to save our skins, wouldn't we? We would, even if our conscience did raise the alarm, we'd say, shh, shh, shh. Don't let the cat out of the bag. And then we wonder, how come we are not secure? How come we are in discomfort? How come there's anguish and anxiety in our hearts? How come we are troubled people? Is the Bible true, or is it just hyperbole? Is it just hocus pocus? Is it just not real? Why does it say the man, and I suspect the woman too, of integrity walks securely? That doesn't just mean that physically they've got a good balance, they won't keel over, they don't need a walking stick. This walk refers to your conduct. It refers to your lifestyle. It refers to your behavior and your attitude and how you perceive life and live accordingly. Some people, when you talk like this, will respond, you know, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. Yeah. So are you using grace as an argument, as a defense, to cover up for your wicked way of life? Is that Christian? Is that spiritual? But to just deal with that and get it out of the way, let me take you to Titus 2 verse 11 that says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it explains what it is. It says it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live upright and self-controlled lives in this world. That's grace. Don't ever reduce grace into a doctrine. Don't ever reduce grace into a mere theological concept. Don't ever theorize and make grace philosophical. Grace, listen to me, is a form of spiritual energy. It's the power that is bestowed that enables us to walk uprightly before God if we want to. How many Christians do you know who want to be men and women of integrity? You know, that gentleman, dear brother, who does the Way of the Master evangelism program, he interviewed a man. He said, would you like to take the good person test? The fellow said, yeah. Because he asked him, are you a good person? He says, yes, I'm a good person. He said, would you like to take the test? He said, yes. He said, have you told any lies? Now that man knew, if he says no, that will be his first lie recognized. So he said, yeah. And immediately, his body language indicated that he's convicted. Yeah, he's told lies. He's just said he's a good person. But he acknowledged he told lies. So he asked him, what does that make you? He answered, he said, liar. He said, have you ever stolen anything? He put down his head. He said, yes. He said, what does that make you? He said, stealer. And then he helped him write, and he said, a thief. He said, part-time. See the human heart. You see the human heart? Hey, it's despicably wicked. It's corrupt to the core. Don't trust it. Do yourself a favor. Don't trust it. Don't trust yourself. You make the biggest mistake if you trust yourself. You're setting yourself up for trouble. You will be deceived and you'll be taken for a ride. The wise in heart accept commands. The man of integrity walks securely. You want to be safe in this dark world? How do we know that we have a sinful nature? Just watch the little boy when he got out of the shop and he saw there were two notes, they were stuck together. Did he turn around in a flash? Did he run inside there like lightning? Oh. There was a processing going on inside him. Yeah, there's a luck. And I'm sure he had visions of all the things that he wanted and didn't have money for that he could now buy. I think if he was an addict, he would have thought of his fix. Isn't it? How much more would he need to have enough to get his fix? There were things going on inside his little head. And when it came to him, this is the silent communication, that it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, you're as good as a thief, you need to take it back. Did you notice he became very sad? Why do you think his face turned so sad? He was wrestling with his heart. He was wrestling with his conscience. His heart wanted one thing and wanted to go in one direction, and his conscience wanted to go in another direction. You know what the Apostle Paul says? That there were those who didn't listen to their conscience. You know what happened? He says in Timothy, they shipwrecked their faith. Now, a ship is a vessel that's supposed to preserve life. You're supposed to be safe and secure in the ship, not bobbing around in the waves. So this vessel that was designed and made to preserve your life actually ends up broken, shipwrecked, just planks floating around on the water, and maybe you clinging to one. That's all that's left of it. That's what it means to be shipwrecked. So Paul says, those who have not listened to their conscience have shipwrecked their faith. So if you look around you and you see Christians who are shipwrecks, you understand why. Why is their life shipwrecked? Why are they facing what they are facing? Because they haven't listened to the conscience. You can't defeat the Bible. You can't break the Ten Commandments. You will be broken on them. And the sooner we understand that, and the sooner we get to internalize it for ourselves, the safer we will be. We won't do foolish things. If we are tempted to do it, and everybody's tempted, then immediately our hearts, through our conscience, will talk to us and say, hey, don't be a loser, guy. Don't be a loser. If you do this now, if you tell this lie or you behave dishonestly, you're a loser. Don't go down this road. Don't do this. It's going to cost you. Maybe nobody will know, but you will know. You will know that you've been untrue to yourself. You will know, and God will know, that there's something seriously wrong with you. Now, all of us were born crooked. Praise God for the counselor who said, don't worry, no problem, we were all born crooked. God can fix anything up. Anything that was born wrong and crooked can be fixed up. I thought, man, what an inspiration. What a Holy Spirit answer. We were all born crooked. So you don't have to say, because I was born this way, I'm destined to be this way. All of us were born crooked. All of us were bent. The whole lot of us. Every one of us. And if you deny that or you don't acknowledge it, then that shows just how bent you really are. The Lord Jesus didn't come for those who are well. He came for the sick. I'm so deeply, deeply grateful to him for that. I wouldn't have had a chance if it wasn't that he came to fix up the broken and the bent. I was one major candidate for him to heal, to fix up and to repair. And he did. He did. He's true to his word. Now, when he works, one of the things that he does, because there's no magic in the Christian faith, he brings before us biblical principles. And our wrestling, engaging and wrestling with those principles, is the pathway to being fixed up and being made whole, being repaired. So you can't be delivered, you can't be healed, you can't have all your problems solved in some or other magical way, and as we sometimes sing, just a touch from the Lord. It doesn't work like that. God is not primarily interested in the healing of our bodies. We see him walking the dusty roads of Palestine, and he healed left, right, and center. But it was for a reason. It was for a purpose. And it's eventually revealed when the blind man received his sight. It is told there in the scriptures that the Lord healed the whole man. So the healing of the body is subservient to the healing of the whole